those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes. What are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava, and how does he speak? Specifically, please describe the symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnavas become dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Mandasya Gananjana Savatyam Chakram Etam Yamata Svayi Shiro Vema Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrasatana Shimaki Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitiname Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachamine Nivisesa Sunyala Viva Sachade Shikara. It is stated, not from the Bhagavad, from the Bhagavad Gita, but it is stated, one shows himself, one is not known as a fool until he opens his mouth. Right? When one opens his mouth, then one knows the quality of the person depending on what comes out from the mouth. It's also stated that what you are or what you become very much depends on the kind of questions you ask. The bigger your questions, the bigger you are. The more important your questions, the more important you become. So a lot of our life depends on what kind of questions we ask. When the materialist comes together, they ask questions about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This is the topic of discussions amongst those who do not know what is the goal of life. On the other hand, those who actually understand what the goal of life is, when they come together, they ask questions about how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is exemplified by Maharaj Nim, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. That he asks very, very pertinent and very important questions, which shows the seriousness of this devotee. It shows the seriousness of the person who is asking these questions, how serious they are about their spiritual life, and how serious they are about attaining the goal of life, paramgati. So although the Navayogas already gave a brief description about the behavior qualities of a Vaishnava, he wants to know more. Yes, it's good enough he gave me, but I want more detailed information. Because obviously there are different qualities of devotees. So how do I distinguish who is Mahabhagavat, a pure devotee of the Lord, and who is middle, Panchamadhikara, and who is the Kanishadhikara, the Neophyte? Because unless I know what are the qualities of each of these devotees, how will I know how to properly associate and how to relate to those devotees? Because if we look at, if we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we read Bhagavad Gita, it's nothing but questions and answers. That's why there's one book that's printed by the BBT called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. You ask the right questions, you get the right answers. You know, sometimes some people they complain that, oh, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me that? Ask. Isn't that what the Bible also says? As an ask, and thou shalt be given. Seek, and thou shalt find. So we have to ask, and we'll be given. And according to what we ask, that's what we're given. Just like you walk in front and give prasadam. You ask for a little bit, you get a little bit. You ask for khichdi, you get khichdi. You ask for salad, you get salad. And you ask for salad, you don't get gulab jams. So what are we asking? What kind of questions are we asking? And we can learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the questions that have been asked. There's nothing frivolous about those questions. All those questions they were asked are questions that are dealing with the essential of life. Very, very important question. That's why, as I mentioned in the last class, that when Shukadeva Goswami met Narada Parikshit, Narada Parikshit asked a few questions, and Shukadeva Goswami was praising him for those questions. So your questions are very appropriate and very important, because the answer to this question is not only beneficial for yourself, but it's also beneficial for everyone who hears it. So when or before you ask a question, we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of this question? And the answers I've given to this question, how is that going to help me in my spiritual life? Or at least, how is it going to help me in my life? So according to the values that we have, it will also manifest in the kind of questions we ask. For example, the people who do not have, who are not on the path of spiritual life, what are their values? Their values may be making a lot of money. And you ask people, say, who wants to make a lot of money? Right, because everyone will raise their hand. But I can bet you that over 90% of these people, they have no understanding of what is money. They just want a lot of money so they can engage in consumerism. Just to buy this, buy that, buy. That's what people think. As soon as I have money, I'm going to spend it on sense gratification. That is the perception of life. Atmavit manke jagat. You see things according to your perception. You judge things according to your perception. It's described in the 11th canto or maybe 12th canto. That the example given is, say for example, a lusty person, when he comes into the forest, wherever he goes, he sees a beautiful woman behind every tree. He sees anyone that walks, how am I going to enjoy this person? A businessman, he say, ooh, so many nice thick trees. If I have owned this forest and cut down all these trees, how much money I'm going to make? Or if someone comes and I see some nice flowers, immediately, when you give them a flower, the first thing they do is, I'm going to enjoy it. Right? You see a flower, they give me something straight away, stuck in the face. But for if you want to give me something, oh, such a nice flower, let me offer it to Krishna. Different perspective. Based on your values. I remember when we were not brahmacharis on Sangita, we developed this habit. Don't imitate. It's not a good habit. Of cutting down flowers whenever we see flowers anywhere in the city square, people's gardens. We just come up in the early morning and do our japa. We used to get up 2 o'clock in the morning, so everyone was sleeping. We get up 2 o'clock, get a quick shower, and then start chanting around. So we cut out the flowers and then we go and make gardens for our little altar. So we developed that kind of consciousness that anywhere and everywhere we go, whenever we see flowers, we just look at one another and we make eyes lusty. Wow, nice flowers. And then we're like, I know what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning I go japa. So you got to cut up the flowers and we make gardens for Krishna, not for our own sense gratification. But from material, they see, ooh, how am I going to enjoy it? And it's the same thing about the questions that they ask. Where can I get more sense gratification? How can I improve my sense gratification? After all, they may develop wealth. They want wealth. What do they want to do with all this money? Their sense gratification. Now, I'm not saying that it's good or bad money, but it's just an energy. We want money too. We need a lot of money. But for a devotee, he wants money. What does he do with the money? In fact, he really started really thinking about it. He got loads and loads of money. What are you going to do with it? What can you do with it? How much can you use? And how much can you spend? Of course, you can just waste it away. And you can just waste it completely unnecessarily. How much can you use? Get a nice house. Or get a palatial house. You don't need a palace. And we saw these film stars, they have money by huge, sometimes I read in the movie, they buy this huge building with 40, 50 rooms in there. What are they going to do with all those rooms? They can't even find one another. They have to walk, okay, hey, are you on room? I'm room, in room number 39. You know? How do you do? So the devotee, they say, one, but it's the purpose behind it when you get the money. What do they use? I can use this money to build temples for the glorification of Krishna. I can use it for different preaching programs. I can use it for developing farm projects. I can use this money for prasad distribution. I can use it for book distribution. I can use the money for so many things, so many different projects. Or I can use this money for devotee welfare. Different purpose. So they may be asking questions, but the question has a different purpose. It's not for sense gratification. So what's the purpose of our question? What kind of questions do we ask? So most people, they do not ask the right questions. Even amongst materialists, even amongst materialists who go in line with sense gratification, even they do not know how to ask the right questions. They will take in with very little. Most people, they ask where they get a job. How they get a job. So the slave went in job. And then they end up as 95% of the population. By the time they reach 65, their date broken. How do you depend on their pension? This is just below poverty. Because if you ask the right question, you would ask them. We need a material term. But on the other hand, those who are actually successful materially, they ask the right question. They ask big questions. They don't ask how to get a job, how to make a million, or whatever. So similar to devotees, what kind of questions do we ask? First of all, what do we, when we are, what is the prasad today? How is the khichdi going to be today? A nice kitchen or good kitchen? Or when we are in an association of devotees, what kind of questions do we ask? So that's important, and that's exemplified here by Maharaj Nimi, by the questions that he's asking, the eagerness, the eager attitude in which he's asking those questions. He wants to go deeper and deeper. Tell me more! Tell me more! In fact, Maharaj Parishu was so eager in his quest for knowing more and more about Krishna and the science of Krishna consciousness, that he was just asking such pertinent questions, and Sukadeva Goswami was getting more and more ecstatic. That's why they were able to go on 7 days and 7 nights without eating, without sleeping. No eating, no drinking, no sleeping. They were completely absorbed in Krishna Katha. Even at one point that Sukadeva Goswami fell into trance, just because of the questions. He felt so ecstatic from the questions that he was asking. Yeah, tell me, you were saying about this, so why is it like this, why is it like that? No? The curiosity he wants and asked. And it just went on, and Sukadeva was not from his head. He was so affected by the questions of Maharaj Parishad. So in fact, as a devotee, at least those preachers, they get very fulfilled when he's talking to someone and this person is asking nice questions and very receptive. You all have this experience when you're preaching to someone and that person is asking nice questions and very receptive to the preaching. At the end of the session, you feel so complete. And you feel so complete that one more event to us in life. This is it. Fully, my brother said, fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. So he's asking, why is he asking this question? What are the symptoms of someone who is more between the most advanced, middle level, and those who are neophytes? So again, not only based on the quality of our questions, but it's also quality of our association. Like they say, you are known by who you associate with. As you associate, so you become. You associate with drunkards, you end up being a drunkard. You associate with AFL hooligans, you become AFL hooligans. And after a football game, you just want to bash up people. It's how you associate. I remember as a kid, I mean basically I was a good kid. Good kid, but something I remember, I was just looking, because now I'm just watching my son growing up, teenager, tough time. I also look back on different phases of my life, and according to who I was associating with, it was how I was behaving. Sometimes I was associating with some kids who were not good behavior, and I started acting also like them. And then on the other hand, at one period I was associated with people who are into their studies, and I was also into my studies. So as I was looking back during different phases of my life, I was in different situations. But as I look at it, I was thinking, well, it's not that I was bad to you and I was doing bad things. It's just because of association. I didn't like doing what I was doing. And I was scared when I was doing bad things. I remember one time, we were just hanging around, loitering around, and one of my friends kind of came back. He just dropped off his girlfriend to one place. You see, you have to understand, for example, in Malaysia, different places, it's all very territorial. Right? There are different gangs in different areas. Just like in America, sometimes some places are like that. I don't know about here. If you are known to be coming from the area, whether you belong to a gang or not, if they know you're from this area, you come to the other area, you get beaten up. So he was driving his girlfriend in another area and was confronted by a group of kids, but he managed to get away. He came back and everyone got fired up and mad at him. You cannot let this go. And we all went back there with pliers and different kind of small weapons that we took with us. I will tell you, I was scared. I didn't want to go, but at the same time, I didn't want to back up. You cannot just back up, you know? You're in a group. So I went, oh man, how did I end up in this situation? We all went back there. Luckily, those guys were not there. And, thank God. And now they're okay, now we can go back. Everyone is peaceful. So who you associate with? So similarly, even as devotees, that's why my name is asking this question. To know. He will want to be respect if someone is chanting Hare Krishna, anyone is chanting Hare Krishna. We offer respect. And it will be all this will be described in details, the qualities, characteristics of a Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari, he worships the deities, he serves the spiritual master, but you don't see anything else beyond that. And he just thinks, yeah, I just serve Krishna. Good night. Or I just serve the spiritual master. I don't need anyone else. No one else is advanced enough. Only my guru is advanced enough to tell me what to do. Of course, this Kanishtha Adhikari sometimes will also add bananas to the platform of even the guru to not tell me what to do. He's thinking he has a direct link to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kanishtha. It may be chanting Hare Krishna, or in fact, you know, anyone chanting Hare Krishna, you offer respect. But we may not associate closely. We may not associate closely. And the Madhyama Adhikari, they are the There are specifically four qualities. They have faith, they worship the Supreme Personal Body. They associate, take shelter of more advanced devotees. They make friendship with devotees on the same level. And they show the compassion and mercy to those who are less advanced by helping them in the Krishna consciousness or preaching to them. So these are characteristics of Madhyamadhikari. And now of course Uttamadhikari, he sees Krishna in everything and everyone. He sees everyone is already engaged. He turns every part and parcel of Krishna, already engaged in Krishna's service, one way or another. So for Uttamadhikari, usually there's no need for them to preach because everyone is already connected to Krishna. That's why, in order to preach, the Uttamadhikari will come down to the platform of Madhyamadhikari to make distinction. Who to preach and who needs to be preached to. So actually, Madhyamadhikari platform is quite a glorious platform. So even the Uttamadhikari will come down to that level in order to preach. Otherwise, if you stay on that platform, there's no preaching. You're just a humble servant of everyone. Oh, you're all engaged in Krishna service, I'm just a humble servant. You please instruct me. So by understanding these different qualities, and you see in Krishna consciousness, although on the spiritual level everything is absolute, but even within the absolute platform there are different distinctions. For example, we understand different rasas. They're all and pure devotees. Even the Shanta Ras, Dasha Ras, Satya Ras, Masarya Ras, Madhura Ras, all the different rasas, they're all pure devotees. But still within that pure devotion is a different level of intensity. A different level. Even in the spiritual world, they're all different levels. Vaikuntha, then you have the Krishna Loka. And even within the highest planet, Krishna Loka, there are two sessions. One is where Krishna's pastime is going on. The other part is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is going on. It stated that those who are worshipping Krishna, they will go to the planet, that part where Krishna is performing pastime. And those who worship Gauranga, they go to that part. And those who worship both, they can't go to pastimes. How? Somehow. So there's all this different grade or different quality and different intensity of the devotion. And certainly amongst devotees there are different qualities, different level of advancement. So you want consciousness is that I want to make serious advancement in Krishna consciousness, then I seek out the association of serious devotees. I seek out the association of devotees who are more advanced than me. I seek out the association of those who whom I can learn something from. I always of this it's not just an opinion, but it's something I heard many years ago and become quite a part of my psyche. That every time you open your mouth, you miss the opportunity to learn something. There's a reason why you have 2 years and only 1 month. The reason is that we should hear more and talk less. At least twice as much. So especially when you are in the association of senior devotees, you should not be eager to speak. You should be eager to hear and learn. And when you speak, the only reason why we open our mouth and speak is to encourage that person to speak more by asking questions, and by asking pertinent, appropriate questions to get that person to speak more. And in the association of advanced devotees, we should become like the, what do you say, the cow that milking, you know, when you milk a cow, they milk out every drop of milk. So in association, advanced devotees, you should milk them. Milk them of transcendental knowledge. to squeeze it out of them. Not just transcendental knowledge, squeeze out from them their experiences, their realizations. And these are something that you cannot pick up from just reading books. You can read books and you learn, can learn a lot. But sometimes when you hear from advanced devotees, they give their realization of what they have learned through life experiences, and you can just pick up so much more, and it goes deeper. And you get, wow, you can't wake up. Oh, wow, is that it? So it's not to squeeze them. This is how we exploit the sensation. Squeeze out every drop. And in return, in this way we actually offer service. Humble service. Humble service is not just doing something, but humbling service also giving a platform for this devotee to preach, to glorify Krishna. Because there are nine kinds of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering. So when one is hearing, offering service. When you're chanting, talking about Krishna is a service. Performing devotional service by hearing about Krishna or by talking about Krishna. So there's this nice, wonderful exchanges going on. So when someone is eager to hear about Krishna and asking the right question, and then you have another devotee who is knowledge, realization, who is eager to chant about Krishna, when they come together, so much nectar is being churned. The churning of transcendental topics become very, very relishable. So this is the question we should ask ourselves. What kind of questions am I asking? And what kind of association am I having? So by asking the right questions and having the right association, then we make rapid progress in Krishna consciousness. Just by this simple process of asking the right questions and having the right association. And having right association means seeking out the right association of devotees who can help us in our Krishna consciousness and dealing with such devotees properly. You make friends. You show mercy to those who are less advanced. You make friends with those on the same level. And you serve those who are more advanced. This is how we associate. Of course, the basis of the everything is friendship, but still a different kind of friendship. Even amongst Krishna's friends, they're different level of friendship. Some friends, they are very much on a servitude kind of attitude. They're serving Krishna as friends. And then there are friends who are considering Krishna as equal level. And where they can even play tricks on Krishna. So this is actually very important. That's why this one verse in the Upanishad is talking about these different kind of devotees, and Prabhupada explained about the different devotees and how to relate and deal with each level of devotees. Because if you do not know how to recognize different qualities of devotees and do not know how to properly associate with them, then two things can happen. We miss out opportunities to learn things that can help us advance in Krishna consciousness, that's one thing. But the worst thing is, we make offenses. If we do not recognize, then we do not know how to associate or deal with those devotees. We become familiar. And this familiarity and offenses will stand in the mind. In the mind, by not recognizing or acknowledging that that devotee is sinning or more advanced than me. And then from that starting point, it also will reflect, manifest in how we deal with that person. We start dealing with that devotee in a very casual way. And sometimes we also deal with that person in an arrogant way. And then we make offenses. And our devotional service becomes interrupted. And in the beginning, when we make offenses, we have great difficulties. We face great difficulties in our spiritual life. And you become more serious, you can fall down from the platform's spiritual life. Our devotional life becomes interrupted. So that's why these are important topics to know and understand. It's not a matter of a class, it's not a matter of a class society that we are now, caste system, this and that. So it's not because of that. It's a matter of also etiquette. Even someone may not be so advanced, but if you're senior, and how do you judge a senior? By age. If someone is, it's just like in the old days, it's not so much here, but in Asian society. If you go to your friend's house, or your children's friends come to your house, how do they address the parents? Uncle, auntie. I'm sure even in Australia some years back, that's how people address. He's older. I tell you, it was very shocking to me when I first came to Sweden back in the 70s, and how children address their parents by name. It took me a long time. Took me a really long time, many years to get over that. To just like accept that this is the way things are here. It just can't, and I just can't click it. I just don't gel with it. And even now sometimes when I used to live in Malaysia, children, when they come, first thing they come to the house is this cloak on this fine new and this hello uncle, hello auntie. For my wife, it was a very, very weird feeling in the beginning. Because she was not used to it. She learned to love with that. So someone coming, you know, you hardly know that first day just was children's friend they come and say, auntie, and who's she addressing? Who's he addressing? Me? Or auntie, calling me auntie? So we got so used to that, and then when we come here, children's friend come in, just walk right past you, like you don't exist. Just walk right past. Hello? Hello, I'm here, no? Like, oh, just walk right past. So, but in our Vaishnava culture, we have to learn these etiquettes of properly addressing one another. And so it's a Prabhu. Then again, how do we address Prabhu? Hey Prabhu! Do we not understand the meaning of Prabhu? Prabhu means master. So you don't address the master, hey Prabhu! Hey, what are you doing? Arriba Prabhu, can you please? That's how we address. And so many things we do, we say, we don't actually contemplate what it means. And we just do it, you know, and become very nonchalant in what we're doing. So, by age, if someone is older, by age, we offer our respect. We are respectful to that person just by the fact that he's older. Don't be like a young Turk. It's a dinosaur. What do they know? At least, respect. You may not necessarily, you may not find your heart or mind to necessarily, okay, at least offer respect and be respectful in dealing with the person. Or someone who has joined the movement longer, they may be not be so advanced, they may still be a bit spaced out or whatever. Still, we offer respect. You may not necessarily, but we offer respect. And now, of course, if one has a spiritual advancement,
spiritual knowledge and realization, that we not only just respect, we seek out their association. We should be very eager to seek out their association and to always be in the association of such devotees. And that's why we see when the sannyasi visit or very senior devotees are preaching, temple is filled, people take off. It's good. They make the effort to come and associate and hear from this very senior advanced devotee and learn something from them. Learn something that can help them in their Krishna consciousness. So by such to develop this attitude and by such approach to our spiritual life, we can make very rapid. Because Mahasaya Dharam Abu Vimukh, by serving the Mahat, by serving those who are pure in the heart, the doors of liberation is wide open. On the other hand, associating with non-devotees, or those who are attached to sense penetration, the doors of hell is wide open. So again, the quality of our, what is the quality of our association? And what is the quality of our questions? How big are our questions? How far do we want to go in our spiritual life? Will depend on what kind of questions we ask and what kind of association we have. So I'm here, so time is up. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? No comments? Something there? I didn't go too much into these three different level devotees that will become in the next few verses.
You mentioned that Nityananda comes down to the platform of Madhyam in order to preach. So does that mean that for Nityananda he sees everything in connection with Krishna?
So it's not that he loses consciousness.
Yes, that's one of the
He remains a Mahabhava. When it comes to that level, being some down that level in order to preach.
It means he just discriminates, but at the same time he can be precise.
You may mention another thing that Srila Prabhupada described before, like the Brahman himself.
Srila
Prabhupada described him like for some when Maharaj Christ gets good, he explains how the Brahman himself falls down by through unqualified members. Like, it's a kind of half a question or comment. So, like, I can see, I look at my grandparents, and, you know, like, sure, I might get the point that I should have respect for them as a senior, but they act in such a way that it's very difficult to keep the respect for them. You know, you respect them for their age, but even they're still very immature. So, don't you think that often we lose our respect for them because of the disqualification of those who are supposedly wise? Because this is why they get the respect, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. But still, we should have the discipline, at least mentally. We may keep a distance from such a person, at least mentally we have our respect. For example, your devotees are very senior devotees. They may not be, shall we say, so full on at this point in their devotional life. At one point they were very full on. They have done a lot of services, and those services have been recognized by Prabhupada and by Krishna. If nothing is lost, so we respect that they have actually done a lot of services for Prabhupada and Krishna.
Do you think we keep a bit of distance at the same time?
We may a distance in the sense that you do not even see that, oh, he's coming, do a little book and disappear. Being distant means in the sense that we do not associate closely.
Yeah.
Now let's try and understand what does it mean, association. Radhananda Maharaj explained that quite elaborately. And that is also mentioned very much in this book by Niranjan Swami, Taking Care of Krishna's Devotees. Have any of you read this book? Anyone who has, are preachers who are dealing with devotees or taking care of chastas, you should read this book. It's very, very good book. So the quotations from Radhana Maharaj there, and it's throughout the book, it's permitted throughout the book. So it's an association, basically means this has to be an exchange of love. Otherwise it's not really associated. When there's exchange of love, there's association. So if you give an example, it's just like, you say, I may be traveling in the airport, I'm preaching to someone. That's the same as I'm associating with that person. It's the other way, I'm giving my association to that person. It's my love, that person that I'm giving knowledge. So I'm giving my association. So when there's exchange, then there's the full reciprocation of association. So that's what association. And also association means also taking on the mentality of that person. Of course, if we are in the company of materialistic people, you are going to be preaching, and if we are not strong in our Krishna consciousness, that just by being in the presence of that person, because his energy are out there, we become affected by the energy. I know of one devotee. He was one was a temple president in Burma, and he was doing very well with his preaching on the radio. He was doing a lot of radio preaching, 40-50 hours a week. But his rounds was terrible. He has his own version of the Hare Krishna mantra. Then when the Maharaj was in round, he was chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. And at one point he got over endeavor. The six principles that are unfavorable for devotional service mentioned in the Upadishamita. He was over endeavoring. There was a lot of money coming into the temple. He had this 40-50 hours of radio show, which is a lot of radio show program you have to. You can do a few repeats, but you have to have new ones, classes, and interview on the street. You go and interview people, and you do a lot of other things. He started a preaching program as a preaching center right in the walking street. Here you don't have walking street, but in Europe it's very common. In most of the cities they have a pedestrian street, no cars allowed. And that's right in the center of the city. Big shopping center, expensive rental, and new renovation. So it was hardly sleeping. They were just sleeping 3 hours a day. And at the same time we're preaching, sometimes we go to all these Mayavadis and New Age people and preaching. That's so much so by that association become affected by Mayavad philosophy. And he started broadcasting these interviews without commentaries. He would just interview Mayavadi and just put it on the air. The opinions of Mayavadi was just going on in Radio Krishna. So he got to find out about it. And we confronted him. And he was like, wow, we have to be more broad in our preaching to capture more people, and Prabhupada is so on our mind. And I said, alright, stop right there. And he said that, I said, stop right there. Either you change your approach, or you just have to suspend it. Because we're not going to allow this to continue. This kind of preaching to continue through meditation. And GBC, it was a Gokul University of GBC or in India, so you cannot contact. So a group of senior devotees confronted him, just decided, I think we suspend you for now until the GBC comes back and make a decision. And he decided to leave. So, you see, he has a good intention to preach, but because his spiritual life was not strong, he was not taking care of his sadhana. Instead of pulling people up, the weight was too heavy for him, it was dragging him down. So therefore the principle is save yourself first. You have to be strong in order to save others. Someone was saying yesterday, was it Dennis? He was talking about being selfish. When we talk something about being selfish, taking care of ourselves, our needs, own needs, sometimes we have to be selfish. Selfish in the sense that we have to take care of ourselves in order to help others. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help others. If we can't help ourselves, how can we help others? So there's something about association that we have to be aware of. What does it mean to associate? You can be sitting right in front of the pure devotee of the Lord and not be associating. You must surrender your ears, you must surrender your mind, you must surrender your heart to hear from Him. You're just sitting there spacing out. How many people, when Prabhupada was here preaching, how many people come through? Some that really took the association, some didn't. Then just walk like us. Questions? Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.